Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you, Maureen.
Good morning, all.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell. Thank you for joining us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the abortion issue. Rhode Island Senate Judiciary Committee this week voted down an effort meant to ensure abortion rights in the state, but efforts to revive the abortion bill are continuing. Mayor Mitchell, is it surprising to you that Democrats in a blue state like Rhode Island would have such a sharp divide on an issue like abortion?
So I guess the short answer to your question, Ian, is no. I mean, abortion endures as a very divisive issue in the United States. I mean, in the, you know, almost 50 years now since Roe was decided, the issue has separated families and friends and neighbors and communities, and it's only going to get worse, I think. I mean, some of the efforts at the state level in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and all over the place, in both directions, both in, away from abortion rights and toward more abortion rights, are happening because I think folks anticipate the Supreme Court doing something to revisit Roe. I'm not convinced that Roe is going to be overturned. My own opinion is, even though we have a decidedly more politically conservative court, we also have a number of justices whose, you know, jurisprudential view of these things is downright conservative as well, which meaning that they believe in judicial restraint. Moves by the Supreme Court, I think, are probably going to be incremental on that front. Nevertheless, we see states like Rhode Island and Massachusetts heading toward greater protections because they anticipate that it's all going to be left up to the states. And then we see more conservative states like Alabama and Missouri and Kentucky that are moving toward creating test cases for the Supreme Court to field. So it's going to get interesting when it comes to abortion in the next few years.
Maureen, it seems like the Rhode Island Senate leadership realizes this could be a political liability in legislative elections next year if they don't move this bill forward. What is your view of it?
I agree with you because I think it is taking the oxygen out of the room and it's not going away easily. And I think for a lot of these legislators, they're caught in a bind. In terms of a heavily Democratic majority, you're bound to have people who are on both sides of this issue. So it's not a surprise that you get this kind of reaction in a blue state because there are conservative Democrats. There are a lot of Catholics. But I do think that because of what's going on at the national level, this is not going away. And so if the leadership could resolve this year, hopefully it'll calm the waters so we can move on. Otherwise, it's going to be another year of perhaps even worse debate.
What is your view, Scott?
Well, I think what we might end up with, unfortunately, is what the mayor alluded to, where we have a quilt work of abortion regulations around the country where different states have different issues. And the real impact of this will be that women of means will be able to travel. We'll go back to the old days. Women of means will be able to get safe and legal abortions. And women who are poor and don't have those means will be stuck in states where there's a long, long way from any clinics. And I also think that in Rhode Island, I think people are attaching a little too much cosmic significance to that small vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee. I think if you put the legislation protecting Roe v. Wade to the full Senate, you'd probably get it approved by a similar margin that the House approved it by, which was fairly comfortable, as you'll remember.
Let's shift gears to talk about wind power. Mayor Mitchell, you say wind power will improve New Bedford's economy in a significant way, but New Bedford is also home to a very productive, very lucrative port. We love the scallops out of New Bedford.
Keep eating them, Ian.
We will. But the concern is from fishermen in Rhode Island and Massachusetts that wind turbines could affect the seafood in the waters off the southern New England coast and be very damaging to the seafood category. Do you have a fallback plan if that proves an accurate fear?
There's a lot to unbundle there, right? It's an area that's ripe for conflict, right? Because you have two industries that are potentially vying for the same, for different kinds of natural resources in the same general areas of the ocean. When the Massachusetts and Rhode Island wind energy areas were established some 7 or 8 years ago now, there was a lot of study done as to exactly where the fishing was done. That resulted in the overall wind area being cut back by more than 50%. That still leaves some areas that continue to be fished. So Fluke and squid fishermen out of Point Judith are prominently in that area. Very little scalloping out of New Bedford takes place, and scalloping is the scallop fishery is the most profitable in the United States, and it accounts for about 80% of the landings in New Bedford. So less conflict there. But, you know, there are a number of lobstermen all along the southern New England coast who go in there. And it's hard to, and there isn't really good data on, like, how much of that goes on. What I would say is this, what we're trying to do, because New Bedford is where these two industries intersect more than anywhere, is try to let reasonable minds prevail. We want to make sure that fishermen, especially those who don't use mobile gear like lobstermen, still have the ability to go into these areas, that the turbines are adequately spaced, that there are clear transit lanes so as to allow for safe navigation. And some of that's happening. It's not going to be perfect, but I think it'll get worked through in large part because it's just not a very, just generally speaking, not a very rich fishing area. A very different story is going on and is unfolding in New York. The wind energy areas that are proposed near New York are very fertile fishing grounds for scallops, for, you know, for all things that all the other species that we've just talked about. That's frankly my biggest concern. The Rhode Island Department of Environmental Management released a study about a year or so ago that showed that there were about 16 times as much fish landings in those New York areas as there are in the Massachusetts areas. A huge, huge difference. And so what we're trying to do is focus our attention on that area, and that, because that's where the conflicts can really take hold.
One thing I'd like to ask the mayor is transportation. It seems to me that if you had better transportation to inside the 128 belt into Boston, that you would be better off.
Obviously, you know, the South Coast Rail Project has been discussed for many years. And
Forever, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, having a passenger rail connection to Boston would be meaningful, and it would help. Some people would take it. It's just the fact of the matter is that New Bedford's some 60 miles from Boston. It's farther from Boston than Providence is. In my administration, our position has been we support South Coast Rail, but, you know, we've got to compete on our own terms because it's never going to be enough.
Well, I wanted to ask the mayor, what about the ancillary industries related to the wind power project? In other words, it seems to me that there are areas there where new industrial type jobs can be available. And I think that may be a place of promise as far as economic development.
Yeah. Our strategy is all about leveraging our competitive advantages, figuring out what we do well, and we have that pretty well figured out, and then just making the most of it. And so for New Bedford in particular, that means making the most of our connection to the sea. So that's why we've spent so much time and energy and political capital on offshore wind over the last few years. But there are many other maritime industries in New Bedford that are also hold a great deal of promise. The entire, for instance, when it comes to fishing, the entire East Coast fishing industry almost is gravitating to New Bedford. We've seen a 67% increase in out-of-state vessels landing in New Bedford in just the last 3 years. We've seen several processors, five at last count, that have come to the city since I became mayor, and a number of others that have expanded. So there is a significant capital infusion in the maritime industries, and we're trying to accentuate all that and build on that, and especially in the areas of the blue economy and marine innovation.
All right, that's all the time we have, so we have to leave the conversation there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell.
Thanks, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. You can find a lot more on our website at thepublicsradio.org. I'm Ian Donis.